All right, let's go ahead and get started then, so we'll be able to have as much time as we possibly can in this Soldiers of Christ aspect of this. Visitors, we have a very special kind of study that we're having on Sunday night, and that is we're studying the life of Jesus, and we do it in questions and answers and everything. And so there is a booklet that we have, and if you need a copy of this, just go ahead and raise your hand. It's a copy of all the cards, and if you just hold your hands up. There's some hands back here, David, over there, back to the right, some over here and everything, and I'll let you take. Just keep those hands up, and you'll be getting those. Those cards cover the life of Christ. There are three levels on that card. The simplest level is called the prophet card. We really believe that everybody ought to learn the prophet card. In that prophet card, there are some shaded questions for boys and girls to learn. And so, Roderick and Sophia, there are questions on that card just especially for you on those in that card and everything. And Lucas, that's for you. And Levi, and I'm not sure if it's anybody else here, but we're trying to help. Oh, Caleb is here. Caleb, you did real good answering those questions last night. Let's see how we do on reviewing the lesson. How many prophecies are there in the Bible about Jesus? How many Old Testament prophecies? Isn't that a massively huge number? You know, you stop and think, you know, how many chapters are there in the Old Testament? And it's almost one, you know, I don't know exactly how many chapters there are, but at least every other chapter has got to be a prophecy about Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing about someone is coming. And so you've got that. Question number two is, and this is what we talked about last week, who was the forerunner? Who was that individual that came to set the path for Jesus, to make it easy for Jesus to come? What'd you say, Caleb? Who was he, Caleb? John the Baptist. All right. Caleb knows that. Levi, did you know that also? I bet Roderick, I bet you knew that answer too, okay? Who is the forerunner of Jesus? And that is John the Baptist. Now then, John the Baptist is compared to an Old Testament prophet. That's a little bit harder, a little bit deeper. But who is that Old Testament prophet that was like John? Remember John had camel's hair, you know, and lived out in the wilderness? There was a man in the Old Testament that did exactly the same way. Who was that man in the Old Testament? What was his name? Elijah. And so the Bible says that before Jesus comes, somebody will come in the spirit, in the attitude of Elijah, and that is exactly what John the Baptist did. And that is exactly what. Now then, let's talk about the birth of John, and that is the parents of John the Baptist. You know their names? Can you? One of them starts with a Z, okay? Or if you're from England, they start with a Z, okay? Who's the father? Zacharias. And the mother's name? Elizabeth. Zacharias was an old man. Elizabeth was an old woman that didn't have any children, and Zacharias was a priest of God who was in the temple, and the Lord came and said, your prayer has been heard. I don't wonder what you've been praying about. And then he says, you're going to have a child. And to his amazement, the words were that he is the one who's going to be the forerunner of Jesus, and he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. The forerunner of Jesus is about to be born. I'm not sure how much of that Elijah comprehended. Can you imagine what that message was? That the Messiah is going to come and my child is going to be the one who's going to fulfill the last promise God made in the Old Testament. That is, before that day, the dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And if I don't do this, you know, the anger of the Lord will come against you. I'll come and smite the earth with a curse. And Elijah was the first one to hear, he's here. My son is going to be that forerunner of Jesus. And I wish we had time to look in detail in relationship to all of this. But Elijah was an old man, and the Lord gave him a sign. Talked about, you know, Ahaz not wanting a sign. Zacharias got a sign. The Lord gave Zacharias the sign. What was the sign that was given to Zacharias so he would know that the message was from God and that he really was going to have a son and that he was to be the forerunner of Jesus? You remember what the sign was? Maxine, do you remember what that sign was? about John the Baptist? You remember that sign? Yes, that's right. Maxine knew what it was. You're going to be deaf. You're going to be deaf. And so he could not talk. He's seen an angel. What was the name of that angel? Anybody know the name of that angel who announced the birth of Jesus or announced the birth of John? If you only know the names of two angels, and if it's not Michael, then who is it? It's Gabriel. All right. So it's Gabriel that made that announcement, and he had all of this information, and it would be interesting to see how much of that he was to convey and everything. That was the sign. When did he get his speech back? After John was born, and they were ready to name the child, and evidently some of them wanted to name him John Jr. You have a son? Is he a John also? You have a John Jr. as a son? No, okay. Neither did Zachariah, so you're biblical in that respect, you know, understand. But you understand that's the way these things were. And when he called for a tablet and he wrote down his name is John, then he was able to talk. Can you imagine how excited he would have been now to announce everything? And the Bible says other people knew about it, knew about it. Here's something we didn't spend any time looking at, and that is when Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. She's pregnant. Elizabeth is pregnant. And the Bible said that little baby inside Elizabeth's womb was full of the Holy Spirit even while he was in the womb. I don't fully understand everything about this, but I'm telling you, here is this unborn child, and he is to be the forerunner of Jesus. And before he was born, God put the Holy Spirit of God inside that unborn baby. Now, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, walks in, and Elizabeth hears that Mary is here, what does that baby do inside the womb? He jumped. He leaped inside the womb. Why? Because he knew that he was in the presence of the one he was going to be the forerunner of. How did he know that? Holy Spirit was in him. That's how he knew that very thing. Just in passing, whenever our society has fully accepted that it's all right to abort a baby, you've got to understand, would it have been all right to abort a baby that was full of the Holy Spirit of God? What about an unwed mother, at least unmarried mother, and she has a child that's in the Bible? If I tell you the mother's name, will you tell me the name of that child? In our society, if you get pregnant and you're not married, what's the solution? Well, you go have an abortion. That's become what's happening in our land. You want to know why it's wrong? If I tell you the name of that unwed mother, unmarried mother, will you tell me the name of that baby? If I tell you the name of that unmarried mother was Mary, what was the name of the baby inside Mary? That was Jesus. You're right, Caleb. Absolutely right. And you and I need to understand Jesus was not Jesus after he was born. John the Baptist was not the spirit of Elijah after he was born. He was filled with the Holy Spirit inside the womb. And that individual, Psalms 139. Read that and you'll understand that the Bible shows that which is inside the womb is you. You were you before you were born. In our day, we have arrived at our land, in our land at a time when a woman has reached full term, 9 months pregnant. They can still abort that baby and it is not criminal. Wonder how God feels about that. That's not what we're here to talk about. But you cannot study this without coming to a realization about it. Now then, let's change direction. Let's talk about the genealogy of Christ. Matthew chapter 1 gives all of the begats. You remember that passage, you know, that Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob and all of those things that are there. How does Matthew chapter 1 say? It says the genealogy. You ever study your family tree? The genealogy. Here's the genealogy of Jesus. He is, Matthew 1:1, first, the son of who? Son of David. And secondly, the son of Abraham. You've got to understand that God had made promises to David that someday that a king would come. One of the promises, 332 prophecies was, there's a king that's going to come through David. You are Jesus, the Messiah. You are the son of David. You're the fulfillment of that promise that God made to David. Isn't that remarkable? And if he had not been a descendant of David, he's not the Messiah. What about Abraham? You remember the three promises God made to Abraham, then to Isaac, and to Jacob? First promise, Abraham, I'll make of you great nation. Put you where? In a great land. And I will send a great Savior. He's the seed. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, and that is who Jesus is. The promise to Abraham was not just a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read the Bible slowly and carefully. Now to Abraham and his seed, the promise was made. That's Galatians 3:16. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and that seed is who? He's to Christ. To Abraham and to the seed, singular. Who's that? Christ. The promise made to Abraham, the promise made to Isaac, the promise made to Jacob. But that word seed in Galatians 3:16 is singular. It's a promise that he made to Jesus, that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that's why when you chase the family tree of Jesus, you've got he is the son of Abraham, he's the son of David, and you can look through all of this and you can see so many of these great things in that genealogy. There are four women that are mentioned in the genealogy. Any idea who the four women are? You ought to be able to get the last of the four women. One of the women in the genealogy is who? The last one. That's Mary. Now let's back up a little bit. Who are the other three? Well, if I tell you, one of them was the great-grandmother of David. Who's the great-grandmother of David? That's Ruth. And so those two people are real interesting. Now the first one, the second one that is there is a lady by the name of Rahab. Anybody remember her occupation? She was a prostitute. That's what she was. She was a prostitute. And God brought her into the very lineage of Christ. And what a message that is to every one of us, that he can bring us it and make us children of God. I mean, here's a woman who is of ill repute. She's not even a Jew. Whenever you remember what town she was from? Where did Rahab live? In Jericho. Remember when the walls fell down? Yeah, all of it fell down except one little part. And that's where Rahab's house was, because her house was a part of that wall. And if it had fallen down, she'd been in trouble herself. But that part of the wall did not fall down. And she married an individual by the name of Salmon, if I'm not mistaken, who is the great-grandfather of David. So he's the father of Obed, so it'd be the great-great-grandfather of David. So you've got all of that spread out in there. Now the other, who on earth is Tamar? Who on earth is Tamar? Interesting story. And we don't have time to spend a lot of time looking at all of this, but Tamar is an interesting story because If I talk about Jacob's 12 sons, you remember Jacob's 12 sons? Remember Judah? Guess who Judah's wife was? Tamar. She was first his daughter-in-law. He failed to keep a promise that he'd made to her. Go back over there in Genesis and read that. I don't tell that whole story. I'm not trying to whet your appetite to get over there and find out how does Judah marry his daughter-in-law. Well, his son was dead. But there's some things that are interesting. She had to play a trick on Judah. And when she played a trick on Judah, she got pregnant. And the Messiah came through the daughter-in-law of Judah and through Rahab the harlot and through Ruth, who's a Moabite, she's not Jewish, and through Mary. You can spend a lot of time. In fact, in our Monday night class, how many weeks we spend looking at these women? Was it three weeks or was it Tuesday morning class? We spent 3 or 4 weeks studying all of these women that's in there. Fascinating, fascinating study. If I ask you what Isaiah's prophecy was about the birth of Jesus, I hope you know that one. We've already talked about it. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel. Guys, this is the heart of the New Testament. 750 years before Jesus was born, here's a promise that God made that someday there would be a person born of a virgin who would be deity. He would be God in the flesh. Now, you know who that was. That's Jesus. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was deity. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was God in the flesh. You know who died on the cross? The Son of God. That individual who was suffered as much as you and I would have suffered. What's the worst pain you ever had? I want you to think about the worst pain you've ever had. And then, they think in childbirth, they're looking at some of you women right here, I think, but the pain of childbirth, you stop and think about that. Imagine Jesus suffering the 6 hours he was on the cross and the scourging that was before all of that. This morning during the Lord's Supper, I thought about Judy and the pain that she has and how much the pain that she has is a part of my pain. It's not, you know, I guess I am her pain, you understand. But I mean, I was thinking how she suffers and everything. She has trouble singing. What a day that will be when he takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. You know why? That second verse. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no pain. And when we get to that part of the song, I look at my wife and how she's had this back pain for the last 10 years, and tears almost come in her eyes every time. That's what Jesus had. And during the Lord's Supper this morning, that's what I thought about, what Christ did, how much he suffered. And he suffered for me and for Judy and for our children and our grandchildren, you understand. It's an amazing thing that happened there at the cross. And we need to understand that he was God in the flesh. Now then, let's get to this matter of a virgin birth. For Jesus to be God in the flesh, he had to not be born of an earthly father. If he'd been born of an earthly father, then he'd been, you know, well, that couple over there, you know, Mary and Joseph, yeah. They got to fooling around and Mary got pregnant. That's not what happened. The Bible says that the mother of Jesus had an angel that appeared to her. If I tell you the name of that angel, will that help? If I tell you the name of that angel was the same angel that appeared to Zacharias? It's Gabriel. That very same angel came to Mary, and she was engaged to Joseph. And in biblical time, an engagement was just as binding as the marriage, though the marriage had not yet been consummated. He could have put her to death. He could have rightly had her put to death, but the Bible says he was a just man. He didn't want to make a public example of her. Because you see, that which was conceived in her, and you ask me how it happened? I don't know. I know the biblical words, and that's all I need to know. The Holy Spirit came up on her, and she was with child. Where'd she live? Are you aware the Bible tells us where Mary lived before? Are you aware that the Bible tells us where Mary lived before Jesus was born? No, that's where he was born, but that is not where she grew up. Where'd she grow up? Nazareth. What's Nazareth like? That's up there where those teenage girls get pregnant. I'm making that up because you remember what Philip said? Can any good thing come out of? Nazareth doesn't have a holy reputation, is what I'm trying to say. I've said Philip, I guess it's Nathaniel that said that. It was Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I know one good thing that came out of there, and that's Mary. I know another good thing that came out of there, and that's Joseph. What an amazing person Mary is. I know the Catholics have overdone their adoration of Mary. But we've underdone, if that's a good word, if there's overdone, there's got to be underdone, the magnification of what a special person she was. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you've got children, if you died, who you'd want to raise your children? You think about that, especially when your kids are little. Judah and I have had at least one time individuals come and say to us, would you raise our children if we died? That's sobering, isn't it? I have two sisters. They're both adopted. And their parents died within just perhaps a year of each other. And before they died, they came to my mom and my dad and said, Austin, Geneva, would you adopt our children and raise them? Yeah. You want somebody special to take care of your children. God wanted somebody special to raise Jesus. And what a lesson it is to every young person here tonight. And that is to be that kind of individual as a young person that says, I want to live as close to God as I can. I'd like to be like Mary. Whenever that angel appears to her and says, you're going to be, blessed are you among women. You know her response, what her response was? Wonderful. I want you to stop and think for just a minute of the magnitude of the problems that developed in her life. She lived the rest of her life as a life of shame. Because those who were not believers in the deity of Jesus, you know where they explained where Jesus came from? Is not this the Son of God? Is not this the carpenter's son? And so she's pregnant. And when she goes and sees Elizabeth, and we don't have time to study all of that, if you haven't recently read Luke chapter 1, where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth and the baby leaps in her womb, read that and think about how much Bible this young lady knew at a time like that. You sort of plan your life. This is not the life she'd planned. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, she has a child. What happens to the child? What was his first bed? What was the first bed you had for your babies? Did you buy a bassinet? Did you fix up a special room in the house to put that child in? She couldn't do it. You're right. You're right, Eva. His first bed was a manger. How's that come about? Well, that's pretty tragic. What about when that decree comes, kill all the children? She's not in Nazareth, she's down in Bethlehem. She's down in Bethlehem, and all of a sudden, if she'd been up in Galilee, Jesus probably been all right up there. Isn't that amazing? Because it's only in Judea where he said, kill all of the children that are born. If he'd been born up there in Galilee, he's born down there in Judea. Isn't that amazing? He'd been all right. Wouldn't have to worry about the king trying to kill our child. But he had to be born in Bethlehem. How many Old Testament prophecies are there? You know what happens? Bethlehem? Are you aware of that? Wait a minute. Where did he go when he left Bethlehem as a baby? You know what? There's another 332 prophecies that says he's going to come out of Egypt. Folks, what are the odds of anybody being born at the time that he was born in Bethlehem? I read somewhere, and I don't know how anybody would know this, but there were 15,000 villages the size of Bethlehem in the Bible lands. Let's make it 1,500. You know what the odds are of anybody being born in one of those 1,500 villages? One in 1,500. Isn't that remarkable? What about the name of that village being named Bethlehem? Were you aware there are at least two Bethlehems in the Bible? Two places named Bethlehem. But it's got to be Bethlehem, and the Bible says not just Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephrathah. Had to be that village. That's amazing. What are the odds? And what are the odds of somebody who's going to later go back to Nazareth so and be a Nazarene? What are the odds of Mary and Joseph going back up to Nazareth so he could be called a Nazarene? That's another one of the 332 prophecies. What are the odds of somebody living in Nazareth, being born in Bethlehem, going down into Egypt and then going back up to Nazareth? Joseph didn't want to go back to Nazareth. Are you aware of that? When he came out of Egypt, what did the angel tell Joseph? Herod's son is on the throne. Don't you go down there where Herod's son is. What are the odds of all of that happening? And what are the odds of anybody being born of a virgin? When you're asked the question, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? You better say, yeah. He came into this world unlike anybody else has ever come into this world. Well, that angel appeared to Joseph, by the way. There was an angel. We don't know if it was that angel or not. And that angel gave commandments to Joseph. Three things. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The angel says, the baby she has, not yours. It's from the Holy Spirit. And you make sure that you name that child Jesus. What does that tell you about Joseph? Can you imagine Joseph having to deal with not in the same way that Mary had to deal with having a child apparently born out of wedlock, for him to have that all of his life and to see all of those things that transpired there? That's not the way Joseph and Mary planned to live their lives. Where was he born? I think that's the last slide we've got tonight. Where was he born? Bethlehem. How are you going to do with the angel, with the answer? What was the name of that angel that appeared to Mary? What was his name? Gabriel. You've got that. What was Isaiah's prophecy? Behold, what? A virgin shall be with child, bring forth a son, and call his name what? We call his name Emmanuel, okay. The four women, don't look at the screen, the four women in the life of Jesus. That's what this class is all about. We're not just here doing mental gymnastics. Okay, let's jump through the hoop. That's not what this is all about. Who are those four women in the life of Jesus? Mary, Ruth, Rahab, and Tamar. And they're not the godly kinds of people that's there, because God takes ordinary people and uses ordinary people. Let me tell you something. That's you and that's me. Doesn't make any difference who you are. Doesn't make any difference what others are saying about you. The God of heaven can use you. And don't worry if the life that you plan to have is not the life that you have now. God can use you in whatever circumstances in which you find your life, and the study of the life of Jesus. David, I'm not sure what song we sang that had in it about being like Jesus or something when we sang that tonight. You remember? What was the name of that one? Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Isn't that amazing? I hope you thought about that. And sometimes in this Soldiers of Christ class, we start by singing, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer." You want to be changed by the Holy Spirit of God so you look like Jesus? Listen to this verse. After I explain it, class is over. But listen to the verse. With an open and honest face, we look into the mirror of God's Word, and we behold the image of Jesus. We see exactly what Jesus what he looked like. And as we look into the Word of God and behold the image of Jesus, we are being changed into that same image of Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why this word is powerful. And guys, that's why Soldiers of Christ is important. We believe that this study will change this church. If we'll not just try to make mental gymnastics out of what's happening here. You think about how Jesus impacted all the lives around them and changed the lives of all of them. What a blessing it is. Thank you for loving Soldiers of Christ. Thank you for being here. And those of you who are watching on the internet, we want you to be here too. It's like you'll learn a whole lot more sitting here than you will sitting at home. All right, that's it for tonight. Thank you very much.